Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you'll go to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, I've been in Ezekiel for a while now, and we've been talking about how Ezekiel was telling them, Ezekiel, the Babylonian captivity, and how Jerusalem was going to be completely sacked. And this is going to be a very familiar passage to many of you, but let's read this today. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. Is this a familiar passage to many of you? And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. In other words, Ezekiel, he didn't want to say. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. This is Ezekiel talking. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And this is a vision that he is seeing. And in his vision, he says, I prophesied and as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. We're going to talk about that word rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. So imagine these bodies standing there, but nothing in them. Then he said to me, and these next few verses, I know you're, if you'll just stand for another minute or two. The Hebrew word ruah can be translated one of three ways in English. The Hebrew word ruah can be translated spirit, it can be translated breath, or it can be translated wind. And in fact, that is also the same in Greek. The same Greek word, one Greek word can be translated either spirit, wind, or breath. And so the joker in the deck here, the challenge is to look at the context and try to figure out which one should it be, breath, spirit, or wind, because it's the same Hebrew word. And so if we will look here, verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And some translations say prophesy to the wind. I like the idea of prophesy to the wind, but most translations do translate this as breath here. It says, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, in other words, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, O breath, or O wind, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath or the spirit came into them, or the wind came into them. Again, you just got to decide. And they lived or came alive and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are the house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. We're going to talk about that, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves. I'm going to talk about the graves, and he is speaking in a metaphoric fashion there. And he says, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. And I know all of this stuff going on in Israel, and that really has almost nothing to do with what I am going to be preaching today, although it might seem like there's some similarities here. It was nothing intentional on my part, but if I can, just for a little bit, and I'll abbreviate my remarks today, I want to talk about the rebirth of a nation. The rebirth of a nation. Let's go to the Lord. God, we're so thankful for your word. We ask that you would open our minds, open our understanding, open our hearts, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And let us receive your word today. Amen. You can be seated today. Amen. In verse 1, Ezekiel starts off. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And that phrase, whenever you're reading through the book of Ezekiel, whenever he would use that phrase, the hand of the Lord was upon me, what Ezekiel was saying was that God was giving him a vision. You can find other places in the book of Ezekiel when he would say that the hand of the Lord was upon me, that meant that God was fixing to give him a vision. And so Ezekiel has this vision, and in his vision, he is standing out in this valley, and the floor, the surface of this valley is covered with bones, full of bones. And probably one of the more important questions to ask is, why were those bones out there? What was the reason that those bones were there in the first place? I saw bones this last week when I was elk hunting, where something, an animal had died out in the woods or been killed out in the woods, and I would see these bones and I'd think, man, I wonder what happened. And why were these bones? I mean, when you see not just the remains of one person's bones, but this wasn't like that. This was the bones of a multitude. And they were out there laying on the surface of the ground. And I think that many of us have read this passage many times through the years and maybe even have a little bit of a grasp around it. But I want to show you some things today that maybe you have not pondered yet. But the real important question is to ask, why were those bones there in the first place? Let me say this. One word. Or two words, Deuteronomy 28. And don't put it up on the board yet. How many people here has read Deuteronomy 28? If you've read your Bible all the way through, you may not remember what it says, but you can say, yeah, I read it. Let me tell you what happened. God gave Moses the law and said, now go down and read all this law unto the children of Israel. Okay? And then, in Deuteronomy 28, he says, listen, I'm in a covenant relationship with you now, Israel. And if you will obey my laws, if you will obey the law, here's a list of blessings that's going to come. Look at the beginning of Deuteronomy 28, and it's just blessing after blessing after blessing, after blessing that was going to come on the nation. He says, but if you forsake my laws, if you turn from me and defile the land that I'm going to bring you into, and you worship other gods, and you bow down yourselves to idols, he said, then instead of blessings, there's going to be covenantal curses. Okay? And in the last part of Deuteronomy 28, he begins to list all of the curses. And if you can you give me that passage out of Deuteronomy 28, Bill? There it is. One of those covenantal curses, he says, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And look at this. Your dead body shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. Why? What happens when somebody dies? They decay, but what do we do in our culture? Do we just, you know, wow, they died. We'll just leave them, you know, laying there. No, we bury them. What I'm going to show you was that one of the covenantal curses on Israel is that if they broke the law, if they worshiped idols, one of the curses was you're going to die and you're not even going to get to be buried. Your bodies are going to rot out in the field. And I can show you examples where God would do that. Do you, if y'all remember that when one of the most wicked queens that ever lived was Jezebel. And when she died, when she got killed, if you'll remember, Jehu said, you know what? She needed to die. She, that needed to happen. This, you know, the God's judgment needed, but go out and get Jezebel and bury her because she's a king's daughter. Go bury her. And they came back and they said, no, we can't find her body has been consumed by the dogs. What was that? That was a judgment. Do you remember when David stood in the valley of Elah that day and faced Goliath of Gath? Did he say, Goliath, you're going to get buried today? Goliath, you're going to be 6 foot under by this time tomorrow? He said, no, Goliath, the fowls of the air are going to pluck the flesh off of your bones. In other words, Goliath, you are going to get, you're going to die today, and the judgment of God is going to be upon you that you aren't even going to get, there won't even be a grave for you. Let me show you Matthew 24. We covered this when we studied eschatology. If you go to Matthew chapter 24, King James Version, very confusing. For wheresoever the carcass or the corpse is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it? Until you find out that in the Greek, the same word for eagle is also for vulture. There's only one word in the Greek. And what do vultures fly around looking for? Something dead to eat. In other words, Matthew was saying, listen, the people that are going to die, it's going to be like a judgment from God in that their bodies are never going to get to be buried. And that is what happened here in Ezekiel chapter 37. Is Ezekiel has this vision of all of these bones. And they're out there. What was it? I'll tell you what it was. It was a covenantal curse that was to come upon Israel because they had disobeyed the law. They had turned their backs on God. They had worshipped idols. And now Deuteronomy chapter 28 was going to be enacted on them. And they were going to die and their bodies were going to rot out in the field. And so that's what was going on. And so are you with me so far? Verse 2, he says, he led me around them and behold, there were very many. And behold, they were very dry. In other words, they had been there a long time and all hope was lost. And in verse 3, he said, son of man, can these live? And Ezekiel just said, man, Lord God, you know, it's up to you. I know that you're able, but if they are going to live, it's going to be. And then he tells Ezekiel, he says, begin to prophesy to these bones. Prophesy over these bones and just tell these bones that yes, you are going to live again. And he began to prophesy. And in verse number 7, if you go to verse, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And there was the sound, and behold, a rattling of the bones. And can't you get that in your theater of the mind, the noise that all these bones would make together? I don't want to ruin any of that. And just about every translation translates this rattle. Okay? So let me be the one that's off out here in the weeds. Let me be the goofy one. Interestingly enough, this word is found 19 times. This Hebrew word is found 19 times in the Old Testament. And 9 of the times, it's translated earthquake. The same word in the Hebrew for rattle or shake is also the word used for earthquake. It's normally, it's only translated rattle one time, okay? Most of the other times, it was translated either earthquake or shaking. And so I don't know, folks, I don't know. I mean, again, everybody, just about every translation out there says rattle. So just, I'm going to be the one that's off out in the woods over here, and you can just say, man, Brother Wiggins, I don't know why he thinks this stuff. But it makes me wonder, in my mind's eye, was, remember how they were up on Mount Sinai? And God was on that mountain. And what happened? That mountain began to quake. That mountain began to tremble and shake. Amen. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, amen, and the sun went down in the middle of the day, what happened? The earth began to shake and tremble. Amen. To where that Roman centurion cried out and said, surely this was the Son of God. And then 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the dead, amen, when he rose from the dead, what happened? An earthquake. So I can't help but wonder. This is just my mind running wild. Sister Wiggins, this you guys need to feel sorry for Sister Wiggins. Sister Simeon, tell me your mind. Just can you just curb it in? But it makes me wonder if it was more than just a rattle. But if in Ezekiel's vision, the ground beneath his feet began to shake and to tremble as those bones began to go back together. And Ezekiel looked, and there's all of these bodies. They've got bones together. They've got sinews. They've got flesh on them. They've got skin on them, but there's no life in them. There's no life in them. And then he says, you know what? Prophesy to the wind, amen. Have the wind blow, man. Let breath enter in. And I will tell you right now, it's the same exact Hebrew verb that was used in Genesis chapter 1 when it said that God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I challenge you to go home and look at this phrase in Ezekiel 37. Look at it in Genesis chapter, I said one, it's actually Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. It's the same exact wording. It's the same exact verb. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living creature. And that is exactly what happened in Ezekiel's vision. Meaning that, you know what? Folks, we can't complete this thing in the flesh. You hear me? We can't complete this in the flesh. Somewhere, somehow, some way, the Spirit of God has to be breathed into your life and my life. Some way or another, God's Spirit has to intervene. Just like the one Old Testament reference was that not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We cannot complete this job in the flesh. God's got to help us. And we've got to rely on Him. We've got to rely on Him. In fact, Paul said in Galatians 3, he told the church of Galatians 3:3, goes, are you so foolish? having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? Galatia, you started in the Spirit, but you're trying to finish in the flesh. Ezekiel was standing there, and there was flesh, there was bones, there was bodies, there was everything, but they were dead. But then the Spirit of the Lord made all the difference. And if you look in verse number 11, well, let me read verse 10. He says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army." These were these bones that just moments before were dead, that had been, they had died and not even been given a place to be buried as a covenantal curse, Deuteronomy 28. But now they're alive again. And you say, "Well, Brother Wiggins, what is this whole vision about?" I mean, you've probably read this passage, but then wondered, what was this really about? Look at verse 11. He says, "Son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. And behold, they," this is the house of Israel. These were people that were down in Babylon in captivity. They say, "Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We're cut off." What had happened? Well, let me ask you. And I had a list. Let me see. Can I have a few more minutes? I don't know if I can find this. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Does anybody remember? Does anybody, Czechoslovakia, nation of Czechoslovakia? Anybody mind telling me who's the current prime minister of Czechoslovakia? I'll give you a dollar. Who? Yeah, I mean, I don't know my names. I can't even think of the prime minister of Canada right now. So, I mean, shame on me. But I'll give you, who is the current prime minister of Czechoslovakia?
I don't keep him around, Fuzzy Simpson.
Robert, I'm glad I didn't say $10. Why did it say that louder? What? I'm going to ask the question and then say it good and loud, Robert. What's the name of the current prime minister of Czechoslovakia?
There isn't one.
No. You know why? Because there's no Czechoslovakia anymore. It's done. It's taken over. It's, you know, that's all, folks. There is no Czechoslovakia anymore. It's gone. It's through. The nation died. Okay? There's other... Newfoundland used to be a sovereign nation. Did you know at one time Scotland and Wales were both sovereign nations? No, no more. No, no, there is no prime minister of Scotland. You've got nations that at one time were a sovereign nation, but they have died. This is exactly what had happened. And so that's why, go down to verse 12 and verse 13, Bill. Ezekiel is not talking literally here. He's talking metaphorically. When I use metaphorically, do you guys understand what I'm talking about? In other words, it's a metaphor. He says, "Prophesy and say unto them, says the Lord God, I will open your graves." Is he talking about literal graves being opened? No. Israel had what? As a nation, what had they done? Died. The nation of Israel was just like Czechoslovakia. They were dead. It was over. They had, their king had been deposed. Nebuchadnezzar had gone through and sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, taken the people, uprooted them from their homeland, and exported them off to Babylon. They were living in a strange land with a strange language, and their nation had died. Brother Lloyd, it reminds me of that photo of World War II when Adolf Hitler had his tanks underneath the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France. And had it not been for the Americans, D-Day, Normandy, France would have died. They almost did. But God says, you might think you're dead as a nation. You might think it's over and that our bones are all dried up. But you don't know who your God is. And you do not understand what I'm willing to do for you. Even though your bones are out there because of judgment from me, even after the judgment, I am still going to show you mercy. I'm still going to show you mercy. And he tells them, he says, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you back into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I'm the Lord when I open your graves and raise from you your graves. Let me tell you something. I believe in a literal physical resurrection of the dead. It's going to happen. Okay? You understand me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to happen, friend. There is going to be a resurrection, but this passage is not talking about that. This passage is talking about a nation that had died because of the judgment of God upon their disobedience. But God said, I'm going to bring you out of your grave as a nation, and I'm going to take you back, and I'm going to restore you to your land. And bringing this in for a landing, in Ezra chapter 1, in the first year, remember Nebuchadnezzar was overthrown. He was the Babylonian ruler that sacked everything. But then his kingdom got sacked. Does anybody remember who it was that sacked it? The Persians, Medes and the Persians. Bonus question, Carl. Who was the Persian king? What was his name? You know, everybody says Cyrus, and I always say Cyrus. It's kind of like tomato, tomato. I don't know. You say Cyrus, I say Cyrus. We'll probably never agree. But yes, you are correct. It was Cyrus. Look at the very beginning of the book of Ezra. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah prophesied this too, might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. And he made a proclamation, verse 2. Here's his proclamation. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. In other words, Cyrus said, yes, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed that temple. But even though I'm a pagan king, your God has moved upon me, telling me that I need to give a decree to rebuild that temple. And they did. And they rebuilt it. And if you read the book of Ezra, that's what it's about. It's about the rebuilding of the temple. And it says in verse chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now these were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity from the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away captive to Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. You're saying, Brother Wiggins, what happened? God brought them up out of their graves as a nation and restored them to their land under the decree of a pagan king by the name of Cyrus. And just in closing, in fact, you can all stand today. I don't know that this is going to be a very good relation here. And I want my scriptures to go together, but Israel Again, those sun-bleached bones that were in that valley that day, they were there because of Deuteronomy 28, the judgment of God, because they had worshipped idols and defiled the land. Israel was dead as a nation. But did you know it says in Ephesians chapter 2, not talking about the nation of Israel, but if I can get personal here, not about in Ephesians chapter 2, not talking about the nation of Israel, but talking about you and you and you and you and you and me and her. It says, and you, plural, you guys, ustedes, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Your bones were out there baking in the sun, friend. You who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work. You used to be dead in trespasses, but God has brought you alive, and you're alive in Christ. John wrote it this way in his epistle, 1 John chapter 3. You've heard of John 3:16? Well, this is 1 John 3:14. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. He quotes an Old Testament passage and says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Dead in trespasses and sins. Your bones out there bleached in the sun. But God said, even though you're dead due to your own disobedience, due to your own rebellion, here's some mercy, here's some grace that you do not deserve. Last scripture, and Bill, it's not in the notes. You don't have to worry. And you guys will already know what I'm going to say. Remember that prodigal son that said, Father, give me my inheritance. And he went out and blew all of his money on harlots and wild living. And then he was feeding pigs and starving half to death. And he says, I will arise. I will go back to my father's house. And remember, he went back and his father ran out to meet him, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and said, kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate because my son has come home. And you remember his older brother didn't like that. His older brother said, man, this isn't good. This isn't fair. I didn't go off and do all this stuff. And you've never thrown me a party like this. And the father said to the older son, the older brother, he said, let's rejoice and let's be happy. He says, why? And he says, because my son, who was dead, is now alive. My son who was dead, he was dead in trespasses and sins. But now he's back. Oh God, I think there's a little bit of prodigal son in all of us, folks. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all gather around the front for a few moments.
things I've had my fill.
You know, one thing I just never have quite gotten. Have you ever been putting a puzzle together and you have a piece that almost fits but not quite? If you're me, what do? You put the piece in there and hit it with your fist. Fits fine. I don't know how to fit all this in. But remember I told you that word ruah? In the Greek or in the Hebrew, can the same Hebrew word can either be wind, spirit, or breath, and that is the same way in Greek as well. It can be spirit, it can be wind, it can be breath, like the breath of God. And again, it's one of those pieces I can't figure out how to fit it in, so I'll just put it there and then hit it with my fist and see if I can get to fit in. But it's, I don't understand the connection and how it all works, but it does say in Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all accord with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. So similar to what happened back in the day of Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones. When he says, prophesy to the wind from all four corners. It's almost like you could almost just say, let a rushing mighty wind flow through this valley and bring life to these dead, dry bones. And how does that fit in with Acts 2? I don't know. Okay. I'll just tell you again. I have to just stamp it in place with my fists because I don't understand how it all fits in. But somewhere, do some more study. Somewhere there's a fit there. Somewhere there's an application there. But let's worship the Lord one more time. God, we're so thankful for you. God, we're thankful for your word, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.